This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
I laughed aloud at Patrick Manley responding to your question about Cole Kmet being the special teams player of the week. I got to tell you, Brad, I read the quote you had from Cairo Santos, you know, which I thought was tongue-in-cheek, but apparently he can read the mind of the voters. And the idea that Pat Manley put all those games together and never gets that award, and the first long snapper ever to get it is a guy that comes in as a backup, was just hysterical to me.
Yeah, and I mean let's be honest, okay? Rips off some high snaps that weren't, you know, real great form. But he got the job done, okay? And he got the job done against a team that was coming hard, right? You see a non-professional long snapper in an NFL game, and they're going to throw the kitchen sink at you. They're going to be more aggressive than they would otherwise. And he's able to get the ball back there. Torrey Taylor's able to get it down, and Cairo's able to kick it on the extra points. And they obviously had the one issue on the 43-yard field goal. I think it was former Bear Roy Robertson Harris that got a piece of that. But great job by Kmet. And when I chatted with Pat, because I saw it, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, Manley's going to laugh his ass off. So I called him, and he picked up right away, and I told him, and he's laughing. And then I said, Pat, it's like he's the first long snapper to ever win. And I think he was just kind of dumbfounded. But I said, you know, that's an example of how an important task is taken for granted in the National Football League.
Yes.
And I'm not advocating for long snappers to be player of the week with any regularity. But Pat said, you know, if you had perfect snaps and your long snapper is able to make two solo tackles on special teams, right, covering punts or something, that's you know, that's a Hall of Fame game for a long snapper, and maybe they'll get some recognition moving forward. Who knows?
So I take it that Cole Kmet's days as a long snapper are over because the Bears have made some moves. Is it Jake McQuaid they signed? Has he made the Pro Bowl? Is Scott Daly coming back? Come on, Brad. What's the latest with the long snapping situation?
Yeah, Daly's got the left knee injury, which is the same knee he required surgery on last year in Detroit. He was hurt in week 8 or week 9 with the Lions. Had surgery on the knee that shut him down for the rest of the year. And I think they might have replaced him in Detroit with Jake McQuaid last year. McQuaid's been around the block. That's probably one of the reasons why he was on the street. But he's of experienced long snappers. Like, he would be the guy to go get right now. So he's on the practice squad, and they've got some coverage if Daly's not quite ready when they come back in another week. And then I'd say Patrick Scales, who is on IR, recovering from back surgery, I'm just guessing he's at least still a number of weeks out. I don't know that his return is imminent here.
I'm curious, we haven't spoken to you since word that they've flexed that game, and the game in Washington will be a 3:25 start. It'll be the lead crew on CBS. I mean, it's good they didn't put it at night, Brad. Don't get me wrong, but for me. But I'm curious: is that like are we acknowledging Caleb and his growth? Is it about Jaden Daniels and his growth? Is it about the two of them against each other? What do you read as the reason for that particular move?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it just off the top, and you're talking about the two most exciting rookie quarterbacks in the league going against one another. Like, that makes it attractive right there. You're guaranteed to have teams with winning records. The Bears are 4-2. Commanders are 4-2, and they play Carolina this week. So Washington likely to be 5-2 going into that game. And then I think another probably small part of the decision was that there wasn't great inventory when you look at what's going on that weekend in terms of juicy matchups. You know, what did they move out of that time slot that was there originally? That was the Philadelphia at Cincinnati game. The Eagles have been a little disappointing this season, and certainly the Bengals have been underwhelming. So I think you got a lot of factors made it an easy choice to showcase the top two picks from the draft who are playing well for their new teams.
So, Brad, we got about 3 weeks until the trade deadline, but we've seen four big trades this week in the NFL. How is Ryan Poles monitoring the trade market? Do you expect the Bears to get busy?
I that was a big topic in my mailbag, and I looked at it from every angle I could imagine. And I can't see a pressing need for Ryan Poles right now. And you say, well, he's been super busy at the deadline the past 2 years. Indeed. Trading a second-round pick each of the last 2 years, time to fill a really pressing need. 2 years ago, they didn't have enough skill position talent for Justin Fields, and they thought they could help that situation with Chase Claypool. That ended up being a bad move. Last year, at the middle part of the season, their pass rush was in rush hour in a construction zone, guys. So it was slowed down by multiple factors, their pass rush. So he felt he had to make a move. Remember, the team was – their record was bad. I think – I would bet there were people at Hollis Hall that wondered, hey, are we going to make it through to next year? Like, as awful as they were record-wise when they ended up getting Montez Sweat. So you sit here right now and you say, well, where's the need – that would match one of those two that would compel Ryan Poles to make it? I don't see it. You guys could scream offensive line and your text machine line. They could scream it even louder. You don't see high caliber offensive linemen made available in trade during the season. Like, that's a really good way to make a bad move for your football team. So could he sit back and check things out, inquire, see what the price is? Sure. I'm opposed to the idea of some big-name defensive end guys because, you know, that's what they did during the Lovie Smith era. They kept acquiring defensive talent and defensive talent and defensive talent. And as friend of the program, Olin Krutz, can tell you, you know, that put them in a position where at times they had to piece it together on the offensive line and they had to piece it together at the wide receiver position. And you can't go out and get a marquee name defensive end to pair up with Montez Sweat and have probably all the resources you need to do the heavy lifting that should be required for this offensive line in the offseason ahead.
I thought it was interesting. You think, like, if you could gift them a position at the trade deadline, it'd be defensive tackle.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at, like, okay, well, where have they not been great? And statistically, they're fine now because they had a really good performance against a lousy Jacksonville team in terms of stopping the run.
Yes.
Okay, I think they're, you know, you look at where they're at in the numbers right now, and they're fine. Prior to that Jacksonville game, they were probably just below the middle of the pack in the league. So, like, you know, if there's some defensive tackle type that's experienced, that's been around the block, that's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, maybe. But let's say you go out and get that player, okay? How are you fitting him into the rotation right now? Like, you don't want Billings off the field. I don't think you want to take Dexter off the field. So I that's where I was writing the answer to the mailbag question. I'm like, I got to come up with one position. And defensive tackle, I think that's legit. Do I think there's a move to be made there? I don't know. I'm certainly not predicting anything, but you wouldn't have to convince me like, hey, they could help themselves if they got an experienced D tackle and somehow added them to the mix without paying too much. But they need to keep the draft capital in place. Like, these people who they got to trade this and do that. Like, no, how about the idea of going into the draft next year with a first round pick, a super high second round pick, thank you to the Carolina Panthers, yep, and their own second round pick. You know, that's a way better idea in my mind.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And Zach Pickens coming off the injured list will be like a trade acquisition in many ways. I mean, you could convince yourself and do those kind of mental gymnastics, but it's a good point, Brad. Let's look on the other side of the ball. I'm curious. I don't think, and I'm not suggesting there's a trade market for Khalil Herbert, but what are we to make about what's happened to Khalil Herbert, the forgotten running back?
Yeah, I just think it's kind of caught in a numbers game there where they obviously want to get the ball to DeAndre Swift. They've had a lot of success with Swift here lately, not only in the running game, but him making some explosive plays as a receiver out of the backfield. Roshan Johnson's fit in nicely with what they've asked him to do. You know, I was talking to a front office guy with another team the other day, and he, you know, just out of the blue started telling me how much he liked Roshan when he was coming out of Texas. So the Bears are getting him involved. There's just not enough touches, and you got to walk a fine line there to get people opportunities, because what's the one thing you hear running backs talk about, and I think you've heard people like Olin talk about it before also, you need to get that back lathered up a little bit. You got to get them going a little bit so you can get a feel for the game, and you can start turning those 3 yard gains into five and the fives into sevens and things of that nature. So I don't think there's a market for Khalil Herbert if the Bears wanted to trade him. Like, I'm looking at that, and I get all kinds of suggestions in that regard. Like, you folks seen how replaceable that position is? Like, and if there was, you're talking about maybe a pick swap, right? I mean, he's out of contract after this season. It just doesn't add up to me. And he serves a value for them on the roster. He's involved in the kickoff return game, and you know, God forbid DeAndre Swift has something happen. You know, what Swift or Roshan goes down with a high ankle sprain, then what are you going to do? Like, then what's your answer then? You've got some depth now. There's nothing wrong with that.
Brad, we talked a little bit about the fact that the Bears, with their takeaways, they've been getting fumbles this year. They have 7 forced fumbles. They've recovered 6. That matches the number they recovered a year ago. Amazing that they've already done that. And it's been something they've talked about. They're trying to punch the ball out. It seems as if it's working, and we know that they are getting interceptions. So it's a pretty high strike ratio for takeaways.
Yeah, they've done a nice job with that. The interceptions haven't quite come in the bunches that they did a year ago, but it's still early. I believe the 4 NFC North teams, guys, are top 7 in the league in turnover margin.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, what's the recipe for winning football games? Obviously, it's the takeaways and the turnovers, and all 4 teams in the division have done that. I will tell you, the fumble recovery rate that they're at right now, that is not sustainable, right? That's there's just too much happenstance and luck and quirky bounces involved. But they should do well at that because of what? The hits principle. You know, you see guys reacting and not just defensive players. Like, remember, God, I'm trying to remember who put the ball on the ground, but it might have been Adunze. I can't remember, but remember Tevin Jenkins in
Tevin
the red
Jenkins,
zone?
Tevin Jenkins, Mr. On the Spot.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So that it's just that hits principle, you know, you see them in practice pay particular attention to the football when it's on the ground. Everybody run into the football. So they'll do well, but 6 out of 7 or whatever you said the statistic was in terms of forced fumbles and recoveries, they're not going to be able to keep that rate up.
Yeah. Brad, Molly and I kind of see this weekend's NFC North slate a little differently. I think the Vikings may come back to earth and the Lions still have that offense, even without Aiden Hutchinson. I think they might win, and I think the Packers have their hands full with the Texans coming into Lambeau. How do you see those two games, which will affect the Bears in the standings? What happens, do you think, Sunday?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Sam Darnold got off to a fantastic start for the Vikings. I think he's cooled off a little bit lately. I'm really looking forward to watching that game. How does Detroit respond, not only defensively, but emotionally with Aiden Hutchinson lost for the year? Talking about a guy who probably was the early front runner for Defensive Player of the Year, right? Like, I mean, he's that impactful. And he doesn't just produce for them. I think a lot of the players in that locker room feed off him. So how do the Lions respond to that? Do they have a little more offensive juice to make up for what's going to be an impacted pass rush? I don't see, you know, 10 or 12 spare sacks sitting out there that they can go get. It'll be interesting to see if their GM, Brad Holmes, winds up making a move. They've been, you know, really patient in kind of how they've built that team up. They've been extra selective in free agency. So, because he's placed a premium on his draft picks. So how aggressive would he be moving draft picks to potentially add a pass rusher? And then, yeah, that Packers game will be interesting too. They ought to have their hands full. But Jordan Love's been a little bit better here. Yeah. Looked like he was shaking a little rust off from that injury at the beginning of the year, and they're doing a couple things that I've noticed, and I haven't watched a lot of Packer football yet this season, but they're moving the ball up and down the field. They're pretty much whichever way they want. You look at the rushing production, and then they've got countless young wide receivers on that team, and then they're really taking the football away. Total defensive change with a new system and coordinator this year. They've been getting oodles of interceptions. I believe they're leading the National Football League in interceptions. So that will be interesting as well. And such a tight race, all these games are going to impact or have meaning to the Bears anyway.
Great stuff, Bigsy. Really appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, man. Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.